the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 1441790. You can WhatsApp 2534679, or you can send an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with the very good friends at ASAP Whiterun, the best shot of the day.
ASAP Whiterun. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the best shot of the day. We want to welcome all of our listeners wherever you are across the Caribbean. Very, very sad time for us in Barbados and, of course, across the Caribbean with the death of Telston Payne. In fact, last week I reported that he wasn't well. And then on May the 10th, just around 10 o'clock last Wednesday, he passed away. And it's quite appropriate that we will do some tributes to Telston Payne this evening. And I can tell you that he's going to be buried, from all reports. I've just been getting information. The service is the 27th of May at 10 a.m. That's going to be at the gymnasium, and then followed by the burial at Coral Ridge. But I'm also told that it'll be the viewing of the body on the 25th. That's going to be at the Cricket Legends from 4 until 6, and then quite appropriately, he goes to St. Catherine's on the 26th of May. By the way, that's my birthday. And it's going to be 4 until 6 at the St. Catherine's Club. So, Telston Payne, we want to extend our sympathies as we, of course, would have done here on Starcom. And we certainly will quite appropriately do some tributes. We also, a little bit later on the show, want to get some reaction to what's happening in cricket in terms of the white ball coach that has been selected, Darren Sammy, the red ball coach, and Andrew Coley. And a little bit later on the show, we hope to be able to speak to the president of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow, who has consented to join us just around 7 o'clock. Already, Tony Gray is on Zoom. And we've also got Philo Wallace and Dr. Ford. But I think it's appropriate to go to St. Catherine's and speak to the president of St. Catherine's, Mr. Anthony Wiltshire, and he has a tribute. Good evening to you, Mr. President.
Good evening, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And thank you for giving me the opportunity for saying a few words. It's president of St. Catherine's. On the sad occasion of the passing of the club's finest cricketer, Telston Payne, at the outset, let me convey the deepest expressions of sympathy to the immediate family, relatives, and friends at such a great loss. Telston's passing represents a void in the St. Catherine's family, which cannot be filled. His cricket exploits have been adequately captured in recent days by other sporting journalists, and we commend them for documenting that contribution, so that future researchers would have a pile of material in order to understand his contribution, not only to us at St. Catherine's, but particularly to Swiss Parish St. Philip and the wider Barbadian family. For when we look at the cultural and sporting landscape in St. Philip post-independence, two names immediately spring to mind, Telston Payne and one other who is well known in the Barbadian cultural arena. Because Telston Payne was essentially a community builder, one whom persons will go as one, as you would put it, Andrew, from Bayfield to Gemswick, from Bladesville to Bottom Bay, they will always find their way on Saturday afternoons to be entertained after a long week's work by Telson. So we at St. Catharines will seek to ensure that his legacy is fittingly honoured in the appropriate way and at the appropriate time. I should add here that we have opened a condolence book at the club for those wishing to sign, and we urge the wider public to do so. So, Andrew, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to express our deep regret at Telson passing, but we are comforted by believing that he's gone to a better place, and we thank those who have paid tribute and offered expressions of sympathy, etc. And we look forward to seeing many of you come with the club and sign the book and to have a chat with us and with the family. I thank you, Andrew.
Well, thank you very much indeed, the president of St. Catharines, Mr. Anthony Wilshire. We are going to be getting, of course, some reactions. We hope to speak to other members of St. Catharines as well, and no doubt we also want to get a tribute from those already on the panel. But just before we do that, you know, he would have played for the West Indies, and let's hear a tribute from someone that was his roommate, Courtney Andrew Walsh.
My condolences to Telson Payne's family. It was very sad indeed when I got the news. But my friend, my teammate, my roommate, our friendship was never changed. The respect we have had for each other over the years. We probably didn't speak every day, but whenever we spoke, that warmth that you've always shown was always there. The respect we have had for each other was always there. I just remember once that knock you played, West Indies versus Tasmania, on a very fast bouncy wicket of Patrick Patterson running in Australia. That one will stick with me forever. My friend, rest well, rest well. You'll be sadly missed.
Thanks to Courtney Walsh. And we are going to get a tribute from Tony Gray now. Tony, you would have played with Telson Payne. Tony? It's on mute, Tony. Still not hearing you, Tony.
Good evening to everyone.
Okay, we're hearing you loud and clear now.
Yeah, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to everyone in the panel. Yes, it's a sad occasion. I played with Telson Payne back in 1987 in New Zealand. And Ambassador Wall just talked about being his roommate. I was his roommate also. You know, a gifted cricketer. Obviously, he has made an indelible contribution. It's a sad occasion. Condolences to his friends and family. You know, his legacy must continue. All I remember about Telson Payne is not only his dedication to the game, but his love for his game, and also the fact that he had a bubbly personality. He was, you know, charismatic. His personality was infectious, and he really gave his all for his country and his region. He always talked about St. Catharines. So he's made an indelible contribution, and may his soul rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. And let's go to Philo. We also have MP Ralph Thorne on the line as well. Philo, your tribute.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Dr. Ford, Tony Gray. We have Ralph Thorne as well on the line, the whole of Barbados. It's a very sad occasion, Andrew, because last week you were just speaking about him. And also, a dear friend of mine was buried today as well, Pat Gibson. She was buried today, a very good friend of mine, so it's very sad. When I first came into Barbados, senior side, there was Telson Payne. And as Tony Gray said, he was very bubbly. And he said, "Welcome, little man. I hope you're here for a very long time." And we went up to Jamaica. And he showed a lot of class. And it was Ambassador Courtney Walsh, Patrick Patterson. He scored a magnificent half century. And when you look at the way in which he played and the passion in which he carried for Barbados cricket, you know, it was unbelievable. And you don't want to even talk about St. Catharines, because all he used to talk about was St. Catharines Cricket Club. And we look forward that when we came back to play for our clubs, we go up to St. Catharines, because who you're going to see? Payne. And who you're going to leave with? Payne. He was the heartbeat of that club. And I know that Milton Small, I received an email today from Cricket Legends. And Milton Small be also doing something. He'll be touched deeply by the loss of Nelson, because a couple of years ago, the Legends came to England, and I saw the camaraderie between Milton Small and Nelson Payne. Milton Small was my roommate, but Nelson Payne was always in the room. They never separated. Yeah. It was unbelievable. You know, as Smalley and Payne, when you hear them talking, you just had to really sit back and reminisce on the great friendship and bond and the cricket that they played with such high intensity and passion. I want to offer my condolences to St. Catherine's Cricket Club, the Telson's family, to the Clobie family, and the cricketing fraternity worldwide, because we've lost a very, very good man. Not a cricketer, but a very, very good man. Payne was one of the nicest cricketers I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And I do wish the office family very deep condolences. I hope that they stay strong. And hope that the Barbados Cricket Association, Andrew, with the passing of so many great Barbadian cricketers, would somewhere in their deliberations when they meet, have a day of remembrance mm-hmm. for all these great cricketers that have gone to the great beyond. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I know we do a lot of talking, there's no action. But I think the time has come now. This is a wake-up call for a lot of us to realize, look, we're not in the departure lounge, as they keep saying, but our memories have to live on. We have to let those young cricketers know what the legacy was and continue to strive for excellence, although with the passing of our greats. And I hope that the BC will wake up mm-hmm. and do something for our former greats so people remember the contributions that they've made to Barbados and West Indies cricket. I want to thank you, and my sincere condolences goes out to you too, Andrew. Mm-hmm. He would have been part of your family as mm-hmm. well.
Indeed, yeah, indeed. All right, we're going to continue those tributes. Let's go to Ralph Thorne, KC, of course, who would have had a close association with Felston Payne and with St. Catharines. Ralph, your tribute.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to Philo and all your guests. This is a sad occasion. Are you hearing me well, Andrew?
We are hearing you loud and clear.
Thank you very much. Andrew, I know how deeply you feel. Mm-hmm. For St. Catherine, and I know how deeply you feel for Felston Payne. And please be assured that it is with a sense of grace and humility that I accept your invitation to do this tribute. There's a sense in which I feel that I do not deserve this honor. But please accept my words with humility. I want to begin by suggesting that cricket in Barbados has been one of those institutions that has been critical in the march towards freedom and democracy. Now, thousands of cricketers and spectators entered a voluntary social compact in uplifting rivalry on Saturday afternoon. Across the manicured greens and the unpretentious open spaces of Barbados, this occasion in social solidarity begins with the cricket club. And this is where the life of Felston Rodney O'Neill Payne finds expression. All the tributes, including Philo's just now, describe him as, and I quote, a good club man. I count it among my great pleasures to have been at Kensington in 1980 when he made that 140 against the Combined Islands. But you do know that it is always an inadequate assessment of a cricketer to define him by statistical records alone. The people of St. Catherine and St. Philip knew that, and they knew that he did not first become Felston Payne on that famous Saturday against the great Andy Roberts. The eminent journalist Keith Holder, in an incisive interview, tells us what Felston said of his beloved club. Permit me to quote Keith's article, and I do so. And this is Felston speaking. From the time I went there, I was welcomed with open arms. The camaraderie is good, and the people up there are friendly. They look after me in a lot of ways, and I just enjoy playing there. I have had many offers from a long time ago to join other clubs, but I have stuck with St. Catherine, unquote. And so you understand that this outstanding son of St. Philip was measured by more than his cricketing skills and statistics. For close to 50 years, his people knew a man of gratitude, gregariousness, and loyalty. And today he remains an outstanding son of Barbados. I take you to that day at his alma mater, Princess Margaret Secondary School, when he wept openly as the pavilion was named in his honor. It was a catharsis in which his tears must have flowed into every recess of his memory, of his boyhood school, every memory of his parish, St. Philip, every memory of his beloved, St. Catherine. No promises, no gifts, no blandishments could lure him away from his parish, away from his people, away from his beloved club. And for an entire cricket career, he served them all with honor. Somewhere I read, greater love hath no man. I remember him in his latter cricketing years showing his younger peers how to build an innings. Patience, devotion, commitment, discipline, and love of the game, reflecting the ways in which he built his relationship with his club. Somewhere I read, greater love hath no man. And I hope that the Barbados Cricket Association will accord South St. Payne highest honours, even in his death. And I know St. Catherine will continue to honour him for his life devoted to them. In victory and in defeat, he never left them. For Andrew Mason, he was their heart and soul. Keith Holder records his sadly prophetic words, and I quote, "I will die playing for St. Catherine." And now in death, Southston Rodney O'Neill Payne's departure stings his people that he loved so demonstrably and who he loved so unreservedly. Believing that St. Catherine shall survive and thrive again, perhaps it is their collective voice that will say with the poet Martin Carter, I quote, "Dear comrade, if it must be, you speak no more with me, nor smile no more with me, nor march no more with me. Then let me take a patience and a calm, for even now the greener leaf explodes, sun brightens stone, and all the river burns. Now from the morning vanguard moving on, dear comrade Southston, I salute you and I say, death will not find us thinking that we die," unquote. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you very much indeed, Ralph Thorne, QC, and KC, used to be QC once, of course, is now King's Counsel, paying his tribute to Felston Payne. Let's go to Dr. Andrew Ford for his tribute. Dr. Ford?
Good night, Andrew, and all the panel and the listeners. Condolences to the family of Felston Payne and his friends and his club mates. One of the really good wicketkeeper batsmen who didn't get to be as accomplished a test player as, but certainly his first class career speaks for itself. But one thing you can see through his life, his loyalty, through his, you know, being a part of St. Catherine's Club. And I'm hoping he will rest in peace, and I wish him the best for his family and friends.
All right. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, Felston Payne from Fall Bay in St. Philip. So that will be St. Philip South. And it was quite appropriate that we phone the Member of Parliament from that area. Let's hear from Indah Weir.
Andrew, please allow me to convey our heartfelt condolences to the family, friends, and fans of former West Indies Barbados and St. Catherine's Club cricketer, Felston Rodney O'Neill Payne. Felston's contribution to cricket in Barbados for the St. Catherine's Club and the Barbados national team will be forever etched in my memory. His innings against the Combined Islands was one of the greatest I've ever seen him play. No one can deny that his call up to the West Indies team was as a result of the bat he pelted in a fired-up Andy Roberts, now Sir Andy Roberts, and the Combined Islands bowling attack. He was also an outstanding coach in the school system whilst working for the National Sports Council. Felsen was a tower of strength at St. Catherine's Club and could always be relied upon for taking them to victory, no matter the opposition. This little giant of a cricketer will always be remembered across all St. Philip, and though I had the honour of claiming him as my constituent, the Republic of St. Philip had the absolute pleasure of owning this outstanding son of our soil. Sleep well, my friend and faithful soul of St. Philip.
Thank you, Indawir MP. Of course, he's the Minister of Agriculture and the representative for St. Philip South, Thelston Payne being from that constituency. We thought it was appropriate to hear from Indawir. Of course, a little bit later on the show, we're going to be congratulating the women. I already see Casey and Knight on Zoom. And as I said, a little bit later on the show, we hope to be able to speak to the president of Cricket West Indies. We are talking, of course, of Dr. Kishore Shallow. We're going to continue with our tributes. Of course, the umpires are very, very important. And I reached out to the president of the Umpires Association of Barbados. Let's hear from Gregory Brathwaite.
I remember giving him out on 99. He delayed leaving the crease for a few seconds, looking disappointed. And the usual St. Catherine supporters took a turn in me. As I had just given out a man in his first match after a number of years of not playing competitive cricket, one run short of a well-deserved 100. He was there because the club was short of players for the match. He walked off and he said to the spectators, "I nicked the ball. What honesty. I'm just disappointed I did so on 99. Such was his love for his beloved club that brought him on the field at that age and after years of not playing cricket. And his demeanour that upholds the statement that cricket is a gentleman's game. That man was Thelston Payne. He was one of the most humble yet passionate players I've ever had the privilege to be on the field with. A player who I believe was unfortunate not to have had a longer international career, as he certainly had the fight, quality and ability as a wicketkeeper batsman. His love, commitment, tenacity and passion for the game, if can only be replicated by a number of our players locally and regionally, could be the driving force in the resurgence of our cricket, because the talent definitely is there. His humility, his respect for the game and officials was generally to be admired. St. Catherine's cricket, Barbados cricket on the whole has lost a servant and an icon of the local game. Thelston, you've batted well, and your innings was cut short of that 100, but you left your mark and legacy. You will long be remembered. On behalf of the Barbados Cricket Umpires Association, I want to extend sincerest condolences to his family, friends, colleagues, and the cricketing fraternity on the passing of Thelston Payne. May his soul rest in peace.
All right, thanks very much indeed. And we're going to continue with those tributes. Ladies, we're going to be with you shortly. Of course, I see Anissa Mohammed and Casey Knight with us. We're going to be, of course, congratulating the Barbados team for, of course, winning the championship. It's going to be interesting to hear from them. But we've got just two more to do, and then we will certainly turn our attention, of course, to the ladies. And that smile I can see from Miss Knight is as broad as St. Kitts. David Mason, in fact, just a couple of weeks before Thelston died, I know they were in constant contact, and when Thelston went to the hospital, I know that David Mason, who would have played with Thelston, a long-standing member of the St. Catherine's Club, said to me that he was trying to get to Thelston Payne and couldn't get him. And, you know, I remember going to watch the do commentaries, actually, on the game when St. Catherine's played against the Empire side. We didn't see him. And then when we had the St. Philip Derby, I asked, where's Thurston Payne? And David told me that Payne was not doing well in hospital. Let's hear from David.
You know, it's a mystery to me how we can emphatically say to our peers, live sharp, boy. We ain't know when we number calling. And then have to face a call number of one of our very own. I mean, how do we process it? How can we process it? Payne was a father, an uncle, a coach, a guardian, a mentor, a motivator, and even an entertainer. How do we really process this one? Regarded as a stalwart and the backbone of not only the St. Catharines Cricket Club, but the local cricket fraternity as well. Payne was loyal to a fault, correcting bad shots and praising the good knocks and strokes. He touched and impacted the lives of so many, an undoubted void that can never be filled. It was really only 2 weeks ago that Payne and I sat at our beloved St. Catharines Club, where he was bemoaning the strokes of some of our players. With the strength that was Payne, the ever-burning passion for cricket was dancing in his eyes. This is too hard to comprehend and doubly hard to accept. Wednesday has officially become the most painful day of my week. Life at St. Catharines will never be the same. Rest well, my friend, my confidant, my forever hero.
Well, you could certainly hear the passion and that contribution. I know they were very close. And someone that went to school with Thurston Payne, former president of St. Catharines, Carson Grzek, with his tribute.
I would have met Penny at Princess Margaret back in the late 60s, early 70s. Penny back then was a very small guy. Played under 15 cricket on the same team. And he and I were probably the only two guys on the third team who wore short pants at the time. Believe it or not, Andrew, I played on a team with Penny and Daniel as our captain. But I need not repeat all of the wonderful tributes paid to a truly dedicated and committed gentleman. Penny came to St. Catharines in the mid-70s with the likes of Stephen Lord and Edward Proverbs, to name a few. And he never left. He became a fixture at Bayfield. In cricket season, out of cricket season, you could be sure that P-1240 seemed to be always at the club. When I became president of the club in the 90s, Payne became captain of the Division I team, and his commitment and dedication assisted me greatly in accomplishing some of the success at the club back then. Payne was also my insurance client over the years. And, you know, away from the cricket and the club in the past two or so years, we met on a weekly basis in the dialysis unit at QEH, where he shared a room with my daughter. We were able then to talk about much more than just cricket. You know, despite his challenges, he always maintained a very positive disposition, always pleasant. He was well loved by both the staff and the fellow patients. I would like to share with you a note that was sent by a fan of Payne. See, a friend of mine who was overseas for quite some time. He worked overseas, Bajan living overseas. And he called me on the Tuesday to tell me that he had sent Payne a note for his birthday, and he didn't hear anything back from him. And if I could check him out, if I'm still in touch with him, to see whether or not he had actually received it. I told him I would check with Payne to see what the position was, but I know he wasn't doing very well. So I'd always get back to him and let him know what the position was. And this was the Tuesday, and I had to call him back then on the Wednesday morning to give him the news that Payne had passed. But the note he sent, he told me it's a personal note, but I will make sure that I don't call his name. But I think it is worth a note. He said, "Belated birthday greetings, Sir Thurston. You may not remember me. We played age group cricket many years ago. I played for Harrison College. I first remember you keeping for Princess Margaret in Rowltree, and you talking behind the stumps all the time. They called you Carew back then, I think. But it was clear that your talent and confidence were at a superior level. Later on, I got you out in a second division match. I can still remember that too. We were also at youth trials together. I think you worked for Mr. Kinch at CIEL at the time. I seem to recall you gave up the job because you couldn't get time off to attend practice. It was that type of dedication to the game that is required to make it at the highest level. Cricket is a hard game to master. I followed your career over the years, but just one test, that is hard to take. It could reduce me to tears, so I wouldn't dwell on it. That sort of injustice happens to too many people. Take Robin Byner, for example. Cricket is not only a hard game. It is a game that breaks your heart if you love it too much. Anyhow, I want you to know that you have a strong group of fans who believe in your ability and character. I am one of them. But I think fans shouldn't just pat you on the back and ask if you remember this match or that match. I enclose a small birthday gift as a token of appreciation. You are Sir Fauston in my books. Yours sincerely. That's the kind of impact that he had on people. And I just could only say, rest in peace, my brother.
Indeed. Well, you certainly heard the tributes coming from, you know, the people who would have been very close to Thurston Payne, the president, Anthony Wilshire, of course, Ralph Thorne, Courtney Walsh, who was his roommate. We heard from David Mason, very passionate. You could almost see him crying there in Dar Weir. You know, you heard from Gregory Braffitt giving out Thurston Payne at 99. I'll never forget that. He nicked it. And I know the spectators were quite upset, but it was a wonderful end. And by the way, Payne, I think, was about 55 years then playing against UW. It's one of the best endings I've ever seen. And you just heard from Carson Grzeck. There's one more to do, but we'll do that a little bit later on the show. And I want to bring it a little bit later on because it has to do with a school that Payne would have coach to great success. We're talking about the Bailey's Primary School, and I'm going to leave that one for the last. It will certainly come on the show. It's going to be interesting to hear from the long-standing coach when you talk about his relationship with Thurston Payne. But for the moment, let's go and talk to the wonderful ladies who have joined us, Casey Knight, and of course we've got with us as well Anissa Mohammed. We want to look at the women's 50-over competition, which of course is in St. Kitts. First of all, young knight with a smile as broad as Bastia. Let me congratulate Barbados for winning the championship. And my first question to you, why do you think Barbados won again and so easily as well? Good evening to you, my dear.
Good evening. Thank you for the congratulations. I think it's just an all-round team effort. The second division cricket on weekends for the girls have definitely helped us prepare better. Mm-hmm. In previous years, we haven't really had that. We had majority of the team in Barbados for the second division, so we were able to gel as a group better. The young girls definitely came on. I just think that we play a very relaxed form of cricket lately. This is our third title, back to back to back, so we're very excited. But we'll definitely be looking to finish on a high tomorrow against Leeward.
Mm-hmm. And Leewards have not done all that well. So talk to me about some of the individual performances. The captain has been good and certainly an overall team effort. And also tell me about the conditions in St. Kitts.
Yeah, I think every game someone different has stepped to. First game we had Allison Garden. Mm-hmm. Then a big part of our team. So when Trinidad got hurt early in the first game, they definitely thought they were in the game. My sister and I, we had a partnership. Aaliyah Allen has definitely stepped up this time around. Conditions, one apart, definitely good for batting, good for cricket all around. When we go to the other grounds, it's a bit tricky. St. Paul's yesterday was a bit up and down, bit slow to pace and stuff. So I guess for different conditions, we definitely had to think outside the box. So we saw yesterday, Haley really came through with the wicket, turning wicket. But I think all in all, we are having a good time. Management staff has definitely been supporting, being good with us. And we're looking forward to finish, as I said earlier, finishing on a high.
Anissa, good evening to you, my dear. Your side, Trinidad, not doing as well as you would have expected. What went wrong?
Hi, good evening. My name isn't Anissa. My name is Ashmini Monasar.
Oh, my humble apologies there. Oh, my golly. All right. Forgive me for that.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Pardon me. I am a part of the Guyana team.
Mm-hmm. What went wrong with Guyana?
Well, I don't think that we've had a bad tournament thus far. We bounced back from the first two games. And I think we just heading into the tournament, we'll just look into build on from those two victories.
Mm-hmm. How have the conditions been, though? Have they been good?
Generally? Yeah, the conditions As Kaisia had mentioned, a lot of the wickets are batting tracks, but as bowlers is how you adapt to them.
Mm-hmm, I see. But you expected Ghana to perform a bit better?
Well, from my point of view, it's just about how the team goes about it and power to the next game.
All right. Dr. Ford, Philo Wallace, Tony Gray, we've got the two ladies here with us. We're not going to keep them too much longer. So let's go to Dr. Ford. Any questions for the wonderful ladies who've joined us?
For Ashmini, I'd like to ask her, what changes would you like to see to help to push the women's game in your country?
Well, for me, I won't have much to say about that because I not too long started playing cricket. I'm still under 19.
Okay.
But for me, it's just about having more cricket for the women. That's just about it. But we have cricket. It's just about having a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Casey, what have been the developments in the women's cricket when you look at the tournament that pleased you thus far? Any new developments or things that you notice that give you increased hope?
Definitely more girls are definitely interested in playing the cricket. Before Leewards, even though they're at the bottom of the table, you're still seeing girls from Leewards and stuff coming through, definitely interested in playing the cricket. Girls asking more questions, and I think that is an important part of us building a better West Indies unit. Mm-hmm. We definitely, as you said, we need more cricket for females around the region. 2-3 weeks here in an entire year is definitely not going to push women's cricket internationally for us in the Caribbean. We know that the CPL is coming on, but we still need a lot more cricket for women in the Caribbean at this point in time.
Okay, and last question for me before I let Phil or Tony. What's it like playing with your sister? And do you think it'll be good to have other siblings playing cricket?
Not much rivalry. It's always when we come back, watch footage and see who plays the best shot of the day. Part of it. But it's always good to have someone there to ask questions, to look out for you, someone to train with, especially when you're a batter in cricket. You definitely need someone that can throw balls at you, give you little tips and stuff. When someone isn't there, bowling is a little different. You just need a ball, some stumps, and you can go about your work. Yeah, definitely. But siblings, but majority of the time it's a girl and a boy. It's rarely ever twin girls together playing cricket, but it's an experience.
Mm. Philo?
Hi, thanks, Andrew. Good night, Miss Knight. Congratulations to Barbados for obviously retaining the 50-over trophy in regional women's cricket. My question to you is the whole transformation of women's cricket. We know that Barbados have won this competition. This is the third time now. But what has continued to be the catapult, the catalyst for pushing you forward and doing well? I want to do well. Mm-hmm. I want to dominate regional cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you see yourself and Barbados going? Or what would you like to see the BCA do in relation to women's cricket? Because you just talked about the second division.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to see the BCA do with this success now of Barbados women's team in 50-over cricket to help move it forward and to encourage more young ladies to play or definitely get involved?
Thank you for the congratulations again. We definitely need to start cricket at an earlier age. We need to get cricket in schools. Because for me, that's where I started in school with Mr. Payne, may he rest in peace, St. Catherine and stuff. We definitely need to find a way to get more girls into youth cricket. Contracts for more women. Currently, we have 3 females on contracts. But definitely, that's a step in the right direction. But we still need to have that opportunity for younger girls so that, as we know, it's hard out there. And someone's parent is going to push them to go get an education, maybe get a 9-to-5 where they're sure that they will be paid instead of saying, oh, you're going cricket, they're spending money, nothing is coming in. So we definitely need to find a path where you can support the girls financially and they can still continue their studies and get the best out of cricket.
Mm. Tony?
Yeah, Miss Knight, well done to you and well done to Barbados yet again for winning the 50-over competition. I would like to ask a question about courses, coaching courses for women in cricket. A lot of times we have men coaching women at the highest level, and that's quite apparent in West Indies cricket. What can be done to have more courses aligned with women's sport rather than just general cricket coaching and courses? The reason why I ask is that I believe that there has to be specific things attached to developing women. Obviously, they're different emotionally, they're different physically, and their needs are different. So can it have different courses specifically for women's cricketers?
Mm.
So I think there's a discussion we have had as females that when we do get a coach, it's always based on they want to see us doing more of what the men are doing instead of just looking at it as female cricket and male cricket. It's always just cricket. The men play a different style to the women. I guess a lot more boundaries are being hit, but still there's a different dynamic in women's sport. I believe that is something that is going to have to be looked at in a different forum. I have discussions about as well with the female cricketers in terms of ways that they prefer the coaching to come over. We do have a lot of males around because I guess it was dominated by the males before. And we definitely need more women in the cricket, especially for younger girls coming in as well. You may not always feel comfortable saying XYZ to a male. Female are wrong, you might feel a little more comfortable. But I guess that's a discussion for a different
form. Things can come back to bite you. I just want we've gone with two young men in West Indies cricket as coaches at the international level.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wish them all the very best. But don't tell me that certification has no value. It has to have value. And we don't want to start wrong and end wrong. Our cricket is at the crossroads. Because look at what is happening to our T20 cricketers in India. We need to be serious about what we are doing with our coaches and sending a message.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shadow has West Indies cricket at heart, but there's a right and a wrong way of doing things.
Mm.
You can't tell me go and get certified and then tell me I could have applied for the West Indies cricket job, man, if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't have a level 3.
Mm.
So I could have put in an application, but nobody told me anything. But it is dangerous ground that we're treading on here.
Fellow,
the region to be certified, and then telling me it does not matter.
Mm. Fellow, there's a deliberateness and an intent of an individual who has an interest in something to actually acquire and to make the steps to have the educational background to further that interest. So for me, the lack of attainment of not even the basic introductory module for the discipline suggests to me that the intent and the deliberateness wasn't there. I mean, the heart could have been there, but I mean, it's like if you want to be, let's say, a acupuncturist, you're not gonna do everything around acupuncture and not actually try to learn something about it. So my difficulty is that no intent was shown or effort made to get it. And I mean, so many cricketers along their journey as cricketers, even when they play, do it. I mean, I know that there was a course the other day that a few of our cricket West Indian players did. So my difficulty is the lack of effort in spite of the heart being there. I understand what Tony is saying. There are lots of people who do professions and they just aren't good at it. That's a fact, but they have all the qualifications for it. But the thing is that they showed an interest and a desire to be in that profession in spite of the reality of how good or how bad they are.
So
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Philon.
Yes, Tony.
Dr. Ford, you see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not discounting the importance of certification, and that's why I said that Darren Sammy has to go and do his level three, because level three is just
one. You got to do the introductory and level one and level two first.
Well, I didn't realize that. So.
If you can just do level three, I think I'll do level three next week.
I didn't realize that he didn't have level one and two.
Oh, and now you know.
I didn't realize that.
And Tony, and Tony, now you know. Do you change your tune?
No, I think, listen, as I said before, he brings a lot of experience and that right. sort of thing, but he has to attain the level three, because level three is wide ranging. I just mentioned some things, and it have other things to talk about. I mean, the way you deal with different personalities, and it's important in Caribbean cricket.
Right.
And we must look at pertinence, right? Andrew, let me just say that a lot of times in the past, not just in the recent past, but in the deep past, we have not looked at the way we manage different cultures in Caribbean cricket. We just spoke about women cricket, for example. There has to be specificity as it relates to the courses to deal with women cricketers. And right. we need to be specific to when we are developing people in the right way. And I think that he should attain the level three coaching course because of the wide range of modules, attached to that level.
Tony, let's bring in Brandon Corlett here. Brandon, where have you gone? Have you gone to Burbese? We're not seeing you on Zoom anymore. Brandon? All right. Any reaction, any questions for Dr. Shallow?
Yeah, I actually live in Burbese, Andrew, not too far from Shimron Hetmyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I mean, both strong points made by Mr. Wallace and Mr. Gray. I must say, strong points, and I am agreeing with both of them. It's important for you to have qualifications, certifications, and all of that. But we know Darren Sammy, he won two World Cups. There is no other person that has done that. And like Mr. Gray said, he did those things under a lot of pressure. Administrative issues, it was a lot, right? But it's important for him to go and get those qualifications. You cannot be the West Indies head coach and, for a year or two, and still you're not equipped with that level three coaching certification. But I think Darren Sammy will be a good coach. Dr. Shallow, good evening.
Hi, Brandon.
All right. So I would like to ask the question as it relates to the West Indies assistant coaches. I'm not sure if that was disclosed.
Right.
When should we expect them? How is the selecting process? How is that going along?
Yeah, those coaches are going to be finalized before the end of this week as well. They have already been identified, but obviously you have to engage them, establish contracts and so on. So that's the process that is taking place at the moment. So I suspect within a matter of days, you would have those confirmed. But listen, we've been going on about this, Andrew. I really was hoping that
probably
spend 2 minutes on this. Because the point is, right, and I totally and strongly disagree with Philo and to a lesser extent Dr. Ford. You cannot say the gentleman is not qualified for the job. You guys are not aware of the criteria and the process, right? And the problem sometimes is when we start to, we articulate ourselves and express ourselves, with little knowledge of the facts.
Oh dear.
Right? And to compare a medical doctor, any doctor, right, with a cricket coach, I mean, it's on. Come on.
Chiropractic isn't a doctor, I don't think.
But the point. No. So I'm saying, Phil said the doctor.
So that's not the
comparison. Yeah, but I'm just speaking. It's not. I'm just being a little facetious, Dr. Shannon, all due respect. But you have moved the goalpost to accommodate someone who's a former West Indies captain. And I do wish you all the very best. But
if you're doing now,
don't be rude, Dr. Shannon. Don't tell me you're coming back to the norms. Because when you start wrong, you end wrong. That's all I'm saying. And I want West Indies cricket to prosper here, huh? I want West Indies cricket to prosper. So I'm just wishing you all the very best.
Sometimes we're wondering, because we happen and potentially, I mean, they're not even negative stuff, right? But we happen them so long. And that is part of our issue. Now, we are at a point, right, where, listen, we have identified probably one of our, the most successful captain we had in recent times. as a coach, right? We are not speaking about Coley as much. Let us talk about the positive moving forward, right? I have utmost confidence in the two gentlemen identified. Right. They went through a comprehensive process, right? They were identified as the two best candidates. Now, you can't even say who are the other candidates.
Dr. Shallow,
So with that, I'm saying that
let's move on.
Rallying around the gentleman and move on.
Let's move on. I got a question for you because, I mean, you came in so late. I hope we're going to do a part two. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Shaman Mara wasn't picked by our very good friend, Dr. Honorable Desmond Haynes, although he made himself available. Does this mean that he will not possibly be selected for the World Cup if the West Indies qualify? Admire.
I don't speak to selection, Andrew. What I could confirm is that he did make himself available. He made himself available for the upcoming series, and I could only suspect that he was not selected.
Right, but is he eligible for selection?
Of course, he's eligible because he has made himself available.
Okay, all right. Well, Hetmar wouldn't go, and more than likely would actually be selected. There's no doubt about that. Any other questions, Brandon Corlett, before we go?
Yes, actually. So, Shiv Narayan Chandrapur, you said he was very close to being the head coach of the West Indies team. I think that was in the press conference. But will he play a part in the backroom staff? Should we expect Shiv Narayan Chandrapur, Dr. Shallow?
Again, that's up to the two head coaches. So the process over the years normally is the head coaches determine, they recommend their support staff to the board, and the board sort of ratify them.
I see. Now, in terms of Jimmy Adams' contract, when does that end, Dr. Shallow?
Jimmy's contract, along with the CEO, both end the end of June.
End of June. All right.
Yeah.
Is Jimmy in trouble?
I don't understand your question, Andy.
Well, I'm hearing that. Brandon, you're close to the board. I'm hearing that Jimmy's in trouble. Brandon, have you heard that?
I have heard nothing. No.
Tony, have you heard anything?
This is the point of the show, Andrew, for the headlines tomorrow.
No, Andrew, I've not heard anything. But well, you would know.
Well, my understanding is that Jimmy Adams is in big trouble, Dr. Ford. Have you heard anything, Dr.?
Well, unfortunately, I don't hear these things. But one thing that President Shallow said that worried me is that the head coach has to go down levels of cricket to articulate the number four and, you know, the ethos of the team and what it should be. And it made me wonder what the director of cricket's role was in trying to do things. But you know, what I would say is, President Shallow, don't get us wrong, you know. Don't think that someone who may be at variance with something is philosophically negative and has anything to against West Indian cricket. One thing I would say is that I think inconsistencies create tension and distrust and can affect organizations and the people who are feeding into it. And I think articulating, you know, plainly what organizations are about and following a trend and sticking to it and articulating to the trend changes is of the utmost importance in every working part of an organization.
And let me just say something, Andrew. When it pertains to Darren Sammy, it is important now, because he's been picked as the West Indies white ball coach, it's important now that his assistant coaches strike the balance. It's like picking a captain and a vice captain. You pick a vice captain who will challenge the captain and debate certain things. The same thing that you want for your assistant coaches. They must fill the void that you may have or the weakness that you may have. So Darren Sammy has to pick people based on efficiency and proficiency and not comfort.
Right. Unfortunately, gentlemen, we have to go. Dr. Shallow, you came in very, very late. We feel robbed in relation to time. Can you come back next week?
Let's, Is let's come into next week again and what, try and come on a little earlier.
What, please do. And Brandon Corlett, come back next week. And by then, we'd have heard that Jimmy Adams is no longer the director of cricket. I'm hearing that he's in big, big trouble. And Ben Mason and Guest says so, it is so. All right. It's 8 o'clock in the country. Of course, we want to let you know that, again, the service for Thurston Payne on May the 27th is going to be at the gymnasium. It's going to be buried at Coleridge. And as I said, in terms of viewing, on the 25th at Cricket Legends, and then he goes to St. Catharines, where, of course, he played so much cricket. Of course, on the 26th, from 4 until 6. We've got some more tributes. We'll continue those tributes next week. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brand tomorrow. It's good night.
ESA feel like rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell the bartender ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.